Yeah.
Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Hi. It's Tuesday morning. Yeah, two for Tuesday. Burn foot cheese. And, yeah. Hey, my dad's going to call in this morning to tell a joke. Now, normally, it's Monday morning. We like to kick off your work week every Monday morning with my dad, Nick, calling in to tell a joke. But I had the morning off yesterday, so we're going to do my dad's joke today. So it'll be the Tuesday morning joke with my dad, because it's a jokey, jokey, jokey time. That's coming up a little bit later. Phone number is 312-981-7200. Here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the Writers Guild of America. Last week released the 101 funniest screenplays of all time. So this is they're not necessarily the funniest movies of all time, although obviously if you have a very funny screenplay, then you have a very funny movie. But they're talking strictly from the Writers Guild, the 101 funniest screenplays of all time. So basically we can talk about what do you think are the funniest movies of all time. 312-981-7200. It's an interesting list. Although I think some of the ones on this list are a little bit crazy to be on the list, considering that it is about screenplays. So we'll get into that in a couple of minutes. Now, Esmeralda, to get back to this whole facial hair in my mouth,
yes,
thing. I do. I can't stand it when my facial hair gets too like sort of long and goes over my lip and stuff. So I always trim it.
Okay.
So I am getting to the point where I'm going to have to trim this. There's no question about it. But it's six more days. And, I mean, you're allowed, under the rules of Movember, you are allowed indeed to trim and keep your mustache, you know, looking good.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah.
You don't have to look like a hobo.
Well, see, that's the thing that happens to me every spring, though.
You look like a hobo?
Yeah. As long as the Hawks are in the playoffs, I don't shave.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
There's a text about my mustache?
Yeah.
What does it say?
Nick, you look good in that mustache as straight male. You're rocking it. Freddie Mercury would be proud.
Oh. Wow.
There was no punctuation in there, so it got a little garbled.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a straight male who gave me that message.
Or
I'm rocking it as a straight male because he mentions Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, I think it's as a straight male.
Yeah.
Meaning
yes,
the person who texted it.
No. You were a straight
me
man.
Being a straight male.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm rocking it like Freddie Mercury, who was not a straight male.
Exactly.
Right.
Oh!
847.
Thank you in the 847 area code. I appreciate that. And by the way, because I hate selfies so much, I purposely take really annoying and obnoxious pictures of myself. And I know Ilf is shaking her head.
No, I was looking at it a minute ago, and it was cracking me up because you're taking it from a low angle.
That's right. I want everyone to see a clear path up my nose.
Now, do you check before you take the selfie that your the nose path is clear?
Well, yeah. Now I got this crazy phone where you can just take, you know, now I have like a phone that most people have. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I was like, Elif, you don't know this because I've only had in my life, I've had three cell phones total. Total. I got my first cell phone in 2007, so I successfully didn't get a cell phone until 2007. The only reason I got one in 2007 was because I was moving in with my girlfriend at the time, and she didn't have a landline in her place.
Wow. 2007.
That was my first phone. I got another one in 2009, not because I wanted one, but because the girl I moved in with became my wife, bought me a new phone for Christmas in 2009. Despite the fact that I didn't want one. And that phone lasted me until 2 months ago.
What happened?
When I got this. Well, it was a six-year-old phone.
Oh, gosh.
And it was falling apart, and it was a flip phone and the whole thing, and I couldn't put it off any longer. I was like, well, I got to get a new one. And I end up getting, like, you know, this is a Galaxy S6.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, this is a good phone. And so I went from, like, a ridiculous flip phone that couldn't do anything to, like, a phone that does everything.
Do you love it?
I'm fine. I'm not Mr. Technology. I will say this. I've really, really ignored my tablet since I got this phone. Mm-hmm. And that was, for people out there who are still holding on to old, like, clamshell, you know, flip phones and stuff, if you want to get a new phone, I would suggest maybe getting used to a tablet first, because I have a Samsung tablet. I have a Galaxy 10.1 tablet at home, and I've been using that now for like over 2 years. And when I finally had to get the new phone, I got this Samsung thing, and I was nervous as to how long it was going to take me to get used to this thing, to get used to this new phone with all the stuff. And it's pretty much exactly just a smaller version of my tablet.
So it probably took you like 3 days to get used
to it. No, even less than that.
That's
like
good.
Nothing. I mean, it took me like within an hour, I had everything all set up. So, but to answer your question, Esmeralda, yeah, I do check. I can take a picture and then it comes right back and looks at me.
That's good, though.
So if it's not obnoxious enough, I'll take another one and get deeper into my nose and make a stupider face. So I'm trying to have fun with this because I hate selfies so much. I'm just trying to have fun with it. And, you know, I want to document the progress of the mustache, because that's part of one of the things that you do during Movember. And I want people to give money because it's a good cause. So I will take selfies if it raises money for prostate and testicular cancer research and for general men's health. You know what I mean? I will actually take a stupid selfie and put it up. So,
well, good for you.
Yeah, I'm getting close. It's there. It's like $890. So, you know, we got 6 more days, and my goal was to reach 1,000. But you know what? You can go beyond 1,000 if you want to give. Don't stop. You know, if I reach that $1,000 goal, and I really hope I do in the next 6 days, if you go to my Movember page and you see that I've reached the $1,000 goal, that doesn't mean you shouldn't give money, because you should, because it's a great cause. So, anyway, do that. And Esmeralda, you are not allowed. Under the rules of the playoff beard, you are not allowed to trim it. You are not allowed to touch it. You shave the day that they make the playoffs, the day that the Hawks are in the playoffs. You shave completely, and you do not touch it throughout the entire run of the playoffs.
And that's why the city of Chicago becomes like Hobo Town.
Absolutely.
At a certain point.
No, seriously. In 2013 was probably the craziest beard I've ever had in my life, was during that run. It was absolutely the craziest beard I've had. And I had to do an event. It was so funny because I had signed on to do an event with a friend of mine, and she works for the Lifeline Theater, which is up in Rogers Park, a really great theater company up in Rogers Park, and I love what they do. And she asked me at the beginning of 2013, like right around February or something, and she was like, hey, like January or something like that. Hey, we're hosting a spelling bee, an adult spelling bee, to raise money for Lifeline. And you did a great job last year emceeing it. Why don't you emcee it again this year? And I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. And it just so happened to be the same night as Game 6 against the Bruins. And that's the night that they clinched. That's the night that they won the cup. That's the night that the Hawks won the cup. And I warned her, you know, I was like, hey, she knows what a ridiculous Hawks fan I am. And I warned her, I was like, you know, that's the possibility that the Hawks might win the cup that night. And she's like, okay, well, I'll find somebody else. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to stand you up, because that would be really crappy of me to do that. I'll still be there, but I want you to know that I'm wearing a Hawks sweater, I'm wearing a Hawks jersey. I will have at that time my old phone, my old ass phone. I will have my phone on the podium next to me on vibrate. And I will be giving updates on the score during the spelling bee. And she's like, okay, fine. And then I said, yeah, and I look like the guy on the cover of Jethro Tull's Aqualung at this point. So just so you're aware, people might actually just start giving me money to, you know, get something to eat or find a place to sleep, because I look like a lunatic.
It would have been great if it was like a black tie affair.
I know.
Put on a little bow tie on top of your sweater.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was a nice affair. You know, they served really nice food and everything. Here I am with my Duncan Keith jersey.
I wonder if they have formal sweaters.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Like, it looks more like a tux.
But I looked like a lunatic, Esmeralda.
I'm sure you did.
Lunatic.
I imagine.
Everybody was like, yeah, no, that's cool.
Well, yeah, you have to wear the sweater, though. I think if you weren't wearing the Hawk sweater,
yeah,
you would just think something was wrong.
And, you know, and I kept giving them updates, you know. But the thing was that this took place at why am I blanking on the name of the place in Rogers Park? The really cool theater in Rogers Park. We're right off of the Moore stop.
Main stage?
That's it, main stage. That's where it was. And there's a bar in front, so we could hear the first period. Like, we could hear the bar screaming during the first period. And by the way, the spelling bee ended in time for me to see the end of the second period and then all of the third period.
That's a bonus. You to go to the event, and then you got to
exactly. But it was really weird because I wasn't on my home turf. I like wasn't at my regular bar with all my peeps. I was at some place like main stage. I didn't know anybody there except for the few people that I had met at the spelling bee. And here I am watching the Hawks win the cup at this place, and I just felt weird.
I do imagine that you look like Tom Hanks in Castaway.
That's not too far actually. That's not too far. And then I gradually, like, I took pictures of myself shaving it, so I left weird little designs on my face, and I took pictures of that. And the best is the picture I took of me with just the mustache, and I didn't trim the mustache or anything, just the mustache. It's total Wilford Brimley. Like, it's gigantic, like, walrus mustache.
Nice.
Diabetes! So... All right. We're going to get to the 101 funniest screenplays. What do you think should be on this list? 312-981-7200. My dad's going to tell a joke, speaking of funny stuff. Good morning. Hey, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Hi, it is a Tuesday morning, and it is Thanksgiving week. And yeah. So a little shortened week for me. I'm on this morning and tomorrow. And Elif, you'll be producing for me again tomorrow.
Yep.
Are you having an okay time?
An okay time.
Yeah.
No, I'm having a great time.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm glad you're going to be here, and you'll be here tomorrow morning as well. I had yesterday off, Monday morning. I took Monday off. I was filling in for Steve Cochran on Friday. I was originally supposed to have Friday off, but I came in and worked for Mr. Cochran, which is always a pleasure. We had a great time. I love doing the morning show, and I'm honored to host it when Steve is away. And so I took Monday off. So I want to thank James Van Osdell for filling in for me on Monday morning. Here today, here tomorrow, and then off Thursday and Friday for the Thanksgiving break. And then back, and Dan will be back as well. Dan Shigeru and myself will both be back on Monday as well. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. We're talking about the 101 funniest screenplays of all time. And it's interesting because I'm looking at some of these, and I agree with, you know, a lot of them are really great and beautiful screenplays. Number one on the list is Annie Hall from Woody Allen. Woody Allen and Marshall Brickman wrote it. And... it's a really good screenplay. I think it should be like in the top 100. I'm not a big Woody Allen guy. I'm just not. LFD, are you familiar with Woody Allen stuff?
I know who he is. I know what he does, but I've seen one movie that he was in, and I think he might have written part of it.
Do you remember what it was?
Don't remember the name.
What happens in it?
Christina
Barcelona, that one? No.
Christina Ricci and
Jason Biggs?
Is he the guy from American Pie?
Yes.
Yeah, him.
Oh man.
I forgot what happens in the movie, but
yeah, it's not good. Everyone wins or something like that.
The one where they sing?
No, that's Everybody Says I Love You.
Yeah.
No, this one that she's talking about came out like in 2000, I want to say.
Anything else.
Ugh.
2003.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't too engaging.
No. But Annie Hall is, you know, many people would consider that his best movie. And it's a good screenplay. Number two on the list is Some Like It Hot, which absolutely belongs on a list of the funniest screenplays of all time. one of the greatest movies ever made. Number three, and, you know, this is funny that this is so high on the list, that this is number three on the list of 101 screenplays. Number three is Groundhog Day. And the reason why I say it's surprising, not because I don't think it's a great movie, because I do. In fact, I think it's a classic. And, coincidentally enough, I am screening it at my film club in February. You know, it's a pretty clever month to do it, don't you think, Esmeralda?
February? Groundhog Day.
See how that works? You can't get anything over on me, man.
Be better if it was on Groundhog Day.
What is it? Groundhog Day is the second, right?
Yes.
Groundhog.
So watch Groundhog Day on Groundhog Day.
People, well, they do. They like cable channels show it. Like,
there's a cable.
Yeah. I can't remember what it is. There's a cable channel that does what TBS does on Christmas Eve.
Oh, and they play it over and over.
Right, like Christmas Story. When they show Christmas Story for 24 hours. They do that on Groundhog Day, and I can't remember what channel it is.
Well, I'm assuming they do it, like, in the movie.
Yeah.
Because in the movie, it just keeps going over and over again.
It is such a great movie. The late, great Harold Ramis directed that movie, one of my favorite comedic voices of all time, who was from here. Shares a birthday with my producer, Dan Shugura. Harold Ramis. But the reason why I say I'm surprised it's that high is because, you know, when that movie came out, it did not get the reception that it gets now. It was not received as, you know, as wonderfully as it is now. Now people are like, oh, it's a classic. I've seen it a million times. And, you know, when it came out, it got a lukewarm response. It did well at the box office, but it didn't break any records by any stretch of the imagination. And the critical response was, it's fine. And now, it was 1993 the movie came out, so it's 22 years later.
So what do you think it is?
It's weird because it happens to a lot of movies. And interestingly enough, it happens to a lot of movies that I actually really love when they first came out, and suddenly it takes like 30 years for people to like them. Most of them directed by John Carpenter. John Carpenter is my favorite director. He made Halloween, he made The Fog, Escape from New York. He did The Thing, the remake of The Thing. Mm-hmm. And his movies generally, when they came out, The Thing almost ended his career. When The Thing came out in 1982, it was a box office bomb. It was ripped apart by the critics, and it almost ended John Carpenter's career. Now, you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody who doesn't think The Thing is one of the greatest science fiction horror movies ever made. But that didn't happen when it was released. Another perfect example, Big Trouble in Little China, is another movie that he directed. Kurt Russell. When that movie came out, tanked. Tanked when it came out. Complete bomb. The biggest bomb, I think, up until that point, the biggest bomb at 20th Century Fox ever. Or one of the biggest bombs in the history of 20th Century Fox. Now, Big Trouble in Little China, classic. Well, where the hell were you in 1986 when it came out? So. But yeah, Groundhog Day, number three on this list. So we'll get to the other ones, the funniest screenplays of all time. We got a break here because we got news, and then we'll talk more about the funny screenplays, and then my dad's going to tell a joke as well. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. It is a Tuesday morning. Two for Tuesday, yeah, bird. Here tomorrow morning as well. And let me give you a quick update on what's happening on tomorrow morning's show. Tomorrow morning, Jim Hanke is going to join us live in studio. Jim is, a big fan of music, a big collector of vinyl. And he's going to be here live in studio. We're going to talk music. We're going to talk vinyl. And there are a lot of really cool things happening on Black Friday in many of the record stores. in Chicago. And we're going to give you all the information on where you can get great deals on vinyl. And it's you know, every year there's this thing called Record Store Day, and now they're going to do it on Black Friday as well, and do like two sort of Record Store Days a year, one of which is going to happen on Black Friday of this week. So we'll have Jim in live in studio, and I believe Jim has I think he's got like a surprise for me, like a thing.
Like vinyl?
I think so. I think so. So we'll talk about that. And then we'll talk about the best Thanksgiving movies and Thanksgiving-themed television episodes. That'll be on tomorrow's show. So tune in for that. And then everybody enjoy Thanksgiving. And then Esmeralda, you will also be off on Thursday morning and Friday morning.
Yes.
And then we'll all be back on Monday.
Yes, we will.
Including Dan Shugru, who's been taking some time off. So, do you have, Esmeralda, do you have a favorite comedy that you go to? Like, is there a few? I'm sure there are a few. Because you're a funny person and you enjoy laughing.
I do enjoy laughing.
I know.
Hmm.
Do you have, like, a couple of go-tos that, like, yeah, this is just hilarious?
Oh, my gosh.
Because we're talking about the funniest screenplays of all time. Number one on this list is Annie Hall. Number two is Some Like It Hot. Number three is Groundhog Day. Number four is Airplane.
Is it really bad that the first thing that comes to my mind is Dumb and Dumber?
No, it's not bad at all. Dumb and Dumber is hilarious.
The movie with them. Yeah.
The movie's hilarious.
I know, it's funny. It's just, you know. And I was hoping my mind would have thought of something a little more.
What did you think of the
cultured
sequel? I'm not talking about the prequel, The Dumb and Dumberer. When
I
Harry
haven't
met,
seen it. I should.
You know, it's not bad.
Okay.
It's not nearly as good as the first. The first one,
yeah.
Dumb and Dumber is a hilarious movie.
Yeah, you can't really, you're not going to be able to duplicate that.
It's not my favorite Farrelly Brothers movie, though. Neither is There's Something About Mary. There's Something About Mary. The first time I saw There's Something About Mary, I thought it was great. And that's one that doesn't age well. Like, I watch There's Something About Mary now, and I'm like, man, this isn't nearly as funny as I thought it was. Number 18 on this list, by the way, of greatest comedy screenplays. I think the Farrelly Brothers' funniest movie, without question, by far, is Kingpin. Kingpin.
I haven't seen that in a while.
Oh.
But yeah, that was,
my,
I remember it being good.
God, is that funny. One of the best roles Bill Murray has ever had is in Kingpin. Woody Harrelson, Randy Quaid.
Right.
Oh,
that,
my old,
that lady,
God.
Their landlord.
The landlord. Yeah. Lynn Shea, by the way, is her name.
She's good.
She's great. And she's in, like, you know, a lot of the, like, she's in There's Something About Mary. She's the,
she
the,
is.
She's the woman who has, like, the bad tan.
Right.
And There's Something About, she's also, one of the things I love about Lynn Shea, other than that I think she's just awesome, is that she'll do anything. Like, she will make herself, she doesn't care what she looks like. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
she'll do anything for a laugh.
Right, but that's the, I mean, you have to.
Well, the other thing is, yeah, but the you know, and I, it's funny because, like, a lot of like, you know, like, guy comedians are known for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more accept, you know, it's the, in some weird idiotic way, it's more acceptable for a guy to look like an idiot
right.
than a woman.
Well, because then people will be like, oh, she's not pretty.
Who cares?
That's all we're here for.
Lynn Shea is just brilliant. She's absolutely brilliant. But Dumb and Dumber is on your list. That's up there.
I would say so, yeah.
Okay, Tootsie's number five on this list, which is a brilliant, brilliant movie. I adore it. One of the best Dustin Hoffman performances of all time. Bah, get Bill Murray's in that, too. do you know the actor that character in Tootsie that Dustin Hoffman plays? Do you know the actor he's based on, real life actor?
No.
Ron Liebman.
Who's?
Ron Liebman is, he's been in a bunch of, okay, all right. He played one of the, I don't know, because I don't watch the Friends. He played one of the Friends' fathers.
Oh, is he in Look Who's Talking?
I don't remember.
Or no, wait. No, no, wait. I'm thinking of somebody else.
No.
No, but I know who you're talking about.
Ron Liebman's
about.
Not in Look Who's Talking.
No, I know who it is.
He's, I think he's, what's her face's haircut?
Yeah. Jennifer Aniston.
Right. He's her, he's a doctor
yes.
on the.
Yes.
Okay, that's, he's in Garden State.
Okay.
With Zach Braff. He's in that. But he's like an acclaimed stage actor, Ron Liebman. He's won Tonys. He's amazing. He was on a television show in the 70s that I adored called Kaz.
Sure.
Which is like the greatest show ever.
Uh-huh.
Ron Liebman, one of my favorite actors, seriously, one of my favorite actors of all time. And he is the guy that they based Michael Dorsey on in Tootsie.
So did that happen to him? Or what's
no,
the deal?
No, he's notoriously difficult to work with.
Okay.
Like Michael Dorsey. But takes the craft very seriously. He's walked off of sets, he's took his name off of movies. Yeah.
Oh god.
Liebman. You don't mess with Ron Liebman.
Be curious how he was on Friends.
To work? I don't know.
Like running around trying to be a diva.
Yeah. Number six, Young Frankenstein.
Of course.
Number seven, Doctor Strangelove, which I think is one of the greatest screenplays ever written. Have you seen Doctor Strangelove?
I haven't. And they actually, at the Music Box, the Logan Theater, they had it last weekend as a midnight showing.
Oh, it's so good.
And I didn't go see it.
If you watch it, and I suggest you do, oddly... This is very funny. Oddly, I had a partner when I first started working here mm-hmm. at GN on the air doing my own show. I had a partner named Gary Lee Wright, and we were teamed up together for 6 years, I think, 5-6 years, 7 years, something like that. And mm-hmm. Gary had, and I don't know, I'm sure he still does this. Gary had a Thanksgiving tradition with his family. They would watch every Thanksgiving. They would watch Doctor Strangelove.
Sure,
which is a very weird. You know, sort of movie to watch, you know, which is about, you know, nuclear Armageddon.
Right.
Interesting choice to watch with the family on Thanksgiving. But if you watch it, and I suggest you do, George C. Scott is in it.
Mm-hmm.
For my money, one of the funniest performances, one of the best comedic performances of all time is George C. Scott in Dr. Strangelove. And I know that George C. Scott is, you know, considered a very good dramatic actor, and he is. And he went on to do incredible dramatic work, won Oscars and all kinds of stuff. But after Dr. Strangelove, I am stunned that after that movie, that he didn't just do comedies. Because he's so unbelievably funny in Dr. Strangelove. Ridiculous. Number eight is Blazing Saddles, which is my favorite Mel Brooks movie.
Of course.
He made Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein in the same year.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. 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 Not a bad year. Number nine, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Number 10, National Lampoon's Animal House.
Mm.
Totally agree with that. You know who one of the co-writers was on Animal House? Harold Ramis. Number 11. Sorry?
Was he in it at
no.
all? No.
Number 11. This is ridiculous. Okay. One of the greatest comedies of all time. I will say this right now. But the reason why it's ridiculous that it's on this list for best screenplays is because 95% of it was improvised. And I'm talking about This Is Spinal Tap.
Oh, interesting.
There was pretty much no script for that movie.
So did no one read the actual script and just went, yeah, no, I'm sure that's
good. I don't know, but the Writers Guild of America put this list together. And This Is Spinal Tap was almost all improvised. So, like, it should be. On any list of film comedies, This Is Spinal Tap should be on it high.
Right. But if you want to get technical about it.
But let me throw out a few more here real quick because we got a break. Considering that Spinal Tap is on this list, let me just say, first of all, His Girl Friday is on the list, and I think that should be either number one or number two of all time. Caddyshack is on this list. Again, 70% is improvised. Borat is on this list. First, not funny. Second of all, improvised.
Right.
And there's a few more on here that I looked that are improvised. The Naked Gun files from the police squad are on here. Waiting for Guffman. Most of it improvised. Is that Christopher Guest stuff? Most of that is improvised. It's an interesting list. Some of them absolutely belong, like Raising Arizona belongs on the list. Life of Brian, The Graduate, The Apartment. These were actually all written. But, like, this is Spinal Tap. There's no screenplay. I do want to mention, however, in the top 15, The Big Lebowski. Speaking of funny bowling movies.
Oh, that's right.
Because Kingpin is a...
You should do a month, a back-to-back.
back to back.
Kingpin and the Big Lebowski.
That's a good double bill. So, all right. We've got a bunch of people who have been texting in great movies and great TV shows that are Thanksgiving-related. We're doing that topic tomorrow morning, so make sure you tune in for that. All right, we have to break here for weather and traffic, and then my dad's going to call in and tell a joke. Esmeralda, you're always gone when my dad tells a joke.
No, I stick around because I really like the theme song.
Of course you do.
It's good.
Well, sure, Jason Skaggs. Genius.